Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
Printing, scanning, shredding. That's what productivity sounds like. Thanks to my Amex Business Platinum card, I couldn't be happier about upgrading my business tools. These are exciting times in paperwork.
Unlock over $1,000 per year in statement credits on select purchases in categories including tech, recruiting, and wireless with an Amex Business Platinum card. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/business-platinum. Built for business by American Express.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Libre, Eau de Parfum Intense by Yves Saint Laurent. The sultry vanilla signature. The fragrance for those who do what they want and dare to be exactly who they are. Libre is crafted with signature notes of lavender essence from France and Moroccan orange blossom, combined with glowing warm vanilla from Madagascar that pushes it to the extreme, creating a long-lasting vanilla twist on the floral fragrance. Gift freedom. Gift Libre.
Idly, hey!
Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished!
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here is your host, Brett Allen.
Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of The Brett Allen Show. It's great to be here with you today. Thanks for watching, listening, and subscribing. And today, we have a very special guest. I'm very excited about this conversation. We are chatting with James Pierce Conley. And there is a good chance that if you have turned your television on and watched any kind of talk show or perhaps a game show, whatever the case might be, this individual's handiwork is right in front of your eyes, and he has a show right now on HBO Max called Craftopia. He's also a multi-Emmy award-winning production designer, and has just had his hands involved in a lot of things. James, thanks for hanging out today. I appreciate it.
Wow, thanks. It's awesome to be here, and it's really cool just like for this little cool Craftopia title there. It's really neat.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. Well, we try and do our very best. And I knew you were coming on the show, and you know, you're a visual person. Obviously, you created sets for, I believe, in the Masked Singer and Kelly Clarkson, and the list goes on and on. And what I have found interesting about your work, and really just any sort of creative space, like, we want things that are visually appealing and pleasing, right? Because they make us feel comfortable. They make us feel a certain way. So I imagine, I'm very curious to start out here, when you are putting some of this stuff together, well, let's back up a little bit and just talk about the show Craftopia. I don't want to get too far ahead because if people haven't watched it yet, what is it about and what can people expect when they have the chance to?
Oh, yeah, and you should check it out. It's basically just a crafting competition. That's it. If you want to watch people make things out of nothing and be super creative, this is the thing to watch. The format is there's three people competing. They win a prize at the end of every episode. And I design a set and I judge their crafts. And I sort of decide who gets the prize at the end, which is super cool. It's fun. It's a fun show at the end of the day. I mean,
yeah. If you love Hobby Lobby and Michaels, then this show is for you. If you like to go in and just create things. It's a very fun show, very family friendly, very binge worthy. It's just so much fun. Were you a very crafty person growing up? Was that something that sort of interested you, or did that come later on in life for you?
It was. I mean, like, my mom was my art teacher. She was an art teacher growing up, and that was like the cool class for me. Like, out of music, gym or art in elementary school, art was my favorite. And it's just kind of what I grew up with. So yeah, in a way, I honestly, like, we kind of laugh at the word crafting, but, like, you know, like when you're in Home Depot or Michael's, like you said, and you're just like looking at all that cool stuff and you're like, yeah, I could totally make stained glass. Like, that's, I'll do that this weekend. Like, I love that space. I like roaming those stores and seeing those random things, looking at all those different types of glue and dreaming about it all. It's sort of like a, yeah, it's like for dreamers, really.
Does your brain ever stop creating, or is it just something that continues on nonstop? I would imagine it's probably obviously a huge part of your life.
It's so weird that you said that too. Like, there's this feeling on Fridays where, like, you're done with a whole lot of work. Because basically that's my day-to-day, is like creating something or solving some people's problems with creating. And on Fridays, you're just so wired up with it that, like, you can't stop thinking about solutions and, like, different things and different details, that by, like, Sunday, you're finally coming down and then you're ready to hit it again on Monday. So I do think it's healthy to take a pause and not think about stuff. But it's also addicting in a way where you just sort of can't stop also. And I'm a product of my own, like, behavior, really. I just can't stop sometimes, and it's really fun, but it's also intense. Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine, especially when you're, like, creating sets for television shows and things like that. Let's walk through the process of how you would create something for, let's say, Kelly Clarkson or The Voice
or you.
All the other show. Or yeah, let's, yeah. So yeah. Like, what is your process? How do you go from A to Z, from idea to concept to, like, really putting something together?
So, you know, it's kind of like building a house in a way, or it's kind of like doing your living room in a way. So I feel like it's relatable, but basically at the end of the day, Brett, if you came to me and you said, listen, I'm so sick of this Einstein painting behind me and these wooden beams, what do I do? I mean, right there and then, there's the problem. So we're going to have a conversation. You and I are going to talk about why you hate the Einstein and what's bothering you about these wooden beams. And I'm going to say, Brett, maybe there's just not enough wooden beams. They only stop in the middle of your head right there, and they probably want to finish the entire ceiling, right?
Like, and they do, actually, that way. So, yeah.
That way. So, like, we have this weird conversation, and we talk, and then I say, okay, enough is enough. Brett, let me just draw this for you. So I draw it. I whip up a quick drawing, and sometimes that can happen with a pencil. Sometimes that happens with a computer, and we do, like, a 3D. And then I show you, and you're like, yeah, but no. And I like this. And so we go back and forth. We go back and forth. And it's all through the power of drawing. And finally, at some point, you say, yeah, that's it. I love that. I love all the wooden beams. I love what you did. There's no more Einstein. Let's make it. And we do. So just, like, this is the part where, you know, everybody can relate to. Then we make things out of wood. We paint walls. We put it all into a truck. And we drag it to a soundstage. And we put it all up. And then we shop for sofas and things like that. But basically, you know, my job is in the planning, and it's in the conversation, and it's really in about, like, kind of identifying what you like, the problems that you're having, and sort of blending it and solving it.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a lot of conversations and problem solving, sort of trying to maneuver through this idea and this world of creativity. And but when it's all said and done, again, as I mentioned early on in the beginning, you know, it all invokes emotion. It makes you feel. It makes you be a part of whatever it is that you're involving yourself in, whether it's a television show. And, you know, I don't know how many people are aware, but really, I mean, when you're watching something, all of it's very planned and calculated, right? Like, whether it's little Easter eggs from part of someone's career or whatever the case might be, like, every little detail is thought out, hopefully.
Absolutely. You're a fool if you don't think that everything is thought out. Every show you watch, this frame around us, it's all here in the person and the talk, and, like, there's makeup people and there's wardrobe people, but then there's all this around me that lots of people weigh in on, and it's my job to execute and make and also conceive. And so every frame, every square on TV is all thought through, even in reality shows, even in documentaries. We're doing a documentary right now, and it's all very calculated in how it looks. It's aspirational. It's also real. The thing about the type of TV that I do too is it's supposed to look real and authentic. So the person watching it believes it, but also the person in it feels it. And it's not like a script where you're like, I'm going to make a police station. And then the police station, we're in Boston and it's in the 60s. For our types of television, like The Voice and The Masked Singer and Top Chef, we're making things out of thin air that are either a fake made up kitchen or a real rehearsal hall that has to be where music is made and hit songs are created. And so it's a deep dive into what those spaces can be and should be and what the camera wants to see.
How many iterations do you go through, like when you're designing one of these shows? Is it pretty lengthy? Do you have talent? You don't have to name names, but like you get it done and then the talent comes out and goes, oh, this is great. Are you constantly, do you have to change things on the fly? Or is it like when you get to that space of, you know, we're here, it's, you're done?
I like to think, well, first off, the process of making something with a team of people, television is not just made by one person. Like there's a usual.
No, there's a lot of people involved.
And they're all visionaries unto themselves. And it's my job to shepherd all those voices into my vision. That can go on, right? Like we're making a house. We're building a house that we're going to watch a lot. We may as well make it really good. We may as well try out a few things. And so that process, you know, people can complain about it. Lots of people do. It's actually gotten longer and longer, in my opinion, since I've been doing this for the last X amount of years. That's really important. So yes, there's probably at least 5 or 6 complete tries to get it to the right spot. But I will say this, there's a magic during construction and during fabrication. Like, you know, when you remodel your kitchen, your cabinet maker might have a couple of really awesome ideas. So I like to think that it's only 80% done at a certain point of the drawing. Then there's another 20% that you just kind of want to keep a little loose. So like your cabinet maker can say, you know, good idea, but I really think you should consider these doorknobs or whatever they are. And they're great ideas. So you bring those all in. And then on site too, you know, honestly, sometimes the sofa doesn't work. And sometimes then the talent finally feels it. And you have to stay flexible enough to let them believe their space. And so, you know what, if you have to change the pillows or change the chair, that's part of the process. So it is like a working organism, honestly. And you want to nail down a lot in the beginning, like 80%. And then you want to let a little bit of it grow.
I can imagine. I mean, especially in the creative space, you have to have a little bit of room to like move around and things like that. You know what I mean? Unless it's like, and it's always fun too, when you're creating something and you can look at it and go, this is amazing. I want to talk about the conversation of branding for just a moment, because I think it's so important to talk about when somebody is creating a brand and then they decide they want to switch the brand or they want to do something different. How much thought should be put into those types of things, or should you just kind of leave things as they are, so to speak, because that's how people might recognize you? Say whether it's a YouTube channel or a podcast, whatever the case might be, maybe even on a smaller scale, if that makes any sense.
Good question. Can you, Brett, what do you think is a good example of this? Like in a show, what do you think like I can specifically adjust to, like, you
mean? Well, let's say for my podcast, I've changed brands a couple different times. He's like, let's really get to what you're asking here.
Yeah.
You know, building logos and things like that. Is it important to keep that as consistent as possible across the board? Or is it okay to switch things up every once in a while to kind of keep things fresh?
My personal opinion in this, and people may vary in all, whoever you talk to, is I think you have to change it up a lot.
Okay.
I think you have to keep people excited. Although I will say you need a common denominator to follow all the way through. You know,
okay.
Wasn't it weird when you, I don't know how old you are, Brett. You feel like we're the same age. Wasn't it
47.
Okay. I'm in my 40s too. Wasn't it weird when you were growing up watching a television show and all of a sudden like the next season was a little bit better and you were like, wait a second, I missed the old set, like Seinfeld. When Elaine changed her hair, and you were like, wait a minute, I miss her old hair. You got to keep something to hold on to. You have to keep, and you have to know the most important part of your brand and what that is. And then it should evolve. It should grow. I wouldn't say it's a total redo. Please don't do that. For my brand, it's all about our glasses. I sort of believe it's a little bit of a metaphor of just like lending our eyes to the client to sort of see. And our logo just it changes here and there every couple of years. I just get bored and spice it up. But you do want to keep the glasses all the way through. You can change them style, but like there's still, you got to hold on to the one thing, in my opinion.
I love it. Yeah. I just, again, I find what you do so fascinating. And that was part of my excitement, selfishly, to talk to you, because I mean, we're talking to an Emmy Award winner here who's created sets for some of the biggest television shows and reality shows and things like that. So it's a different conversation. It's just so extremely fascinating. Again, you've just been a part of so many different things, and you've had the privilege of working with so many amazing people. Throughout the trajectory of your career, has there ever been any piece of advice or something that someone has told you that has just stuck with you, so to speak, and sustained you on this trajectory of creativity and really all these things that you do?
Oh gosh, I'm always like, I've always got a nugget of wisdom every day. But the one thing that sticks out to me, you know, when I was in college and I did the set design, I think it was my first or second college show, and I was a senior, I was ready to get out, and I was doing a director's thesis. Anyways, long story short, we were in rehearsals, and the director that I was working for, her teacher said, I feel like you got to change this, this, and this. And we had this concept that was all about one thing, and this piece of advice just swept it right, pulled the rug right out under from it. And me and the costume designer and lighting designer were so upset about the change and like what it was going to do and like how it just changed the story. And we had this endless meeting, and, you know, we finally convinced the director to come back to the way we originally had it. And one of my professors leaned into me after about opening the night and said, well, congrats. It looked really awesome and super strong visually. But one piece of advice is really the mark of a junior designer is the inability to change. Just change. Just grow with it. Make every version good. Just ease into it. You should not be so rigid. And I thought, and I still think about that all the time. And then people will change things for the last possible second, Brett. And you have to just say, you know what? Let's do it. Why not? Let's try that. And it could be stronger. And heck, you know. And it is good advice. You know, at the end of the day, I'm a visual translator, right? Like I'm somebody to help you, Brett, with your background and your brand. And if you're not happy or I'm not easy to work with, you're not going to come back to me, and I'm not going to be able to continue my art. So it is advice.
Yeah. Again, just fantastic. Also too, it's funny you're talking about college and set designs. I was a theater major, and I just remember the endless conversations that these people would have about things. And we were doing The Music Man, and they wanted to do like a modern industrial type thing. And they're like, no, we want to stick with a Meredith Wilson kind of fun and cartoonish thing. And they were able to kind of like strike a happy middle and go, let's kind of do both. Or even just, you know, working on television sets as a background actor and things, and all the conversations that happen as far as like what's going to go here and what's going to go there. It's just a very would appear to be sort of a tedious process, but really, like, again, going back to our conversation at the beginning, it's all very well thought out and very calculated, and you go, this makes a lot of sense. But in any case, Craftopia is fantastic. I really recommend people watching it. We'll link it in our show notes. It's on HBO Max to stream. And of course, if you've never seen the Kelly Clarkson show or the Masked Singer,
Top Chef.
I don't know what to tell you.
Nailed It is also a good one. You got to watch that. We love that show.
Yo, that's another fantastic show. We've been chatting with James Pierce Conley. James, thanks for hanging out today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brett. Yeah, my pleasure.
That brings today's show to a close.
Goodly do.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.